Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
As I promised, I'm very, very excited to be speaking this morning and, in fact, to be meeting Yoel Levy. We've kind of been in contact over the last while, especially when I heard he was coming to Cape Town. And why? Why was I interested in this? Because every now and then, somebody takes something deeply personal, pain, grief, heartbreak, and transforms it, quite literally, into something that is a movement. And Yoel Levy has, in fact, become a movement. He's known as the Jewish fitness coach. He runs marathons across the globe dressed as Batman. And that is, of course, in memory of the Bibas children, Kfir Ariel, whose tragic story became one of the most haunting symbols of October the 7th and its aftermath. Beyond the costume, the kilometers run lies a deeper story, a story of Jewish identity, and that is something that I have found really, really fascinating, as Yoel has had to deal with a tremendous amount of online hate, losing followers as he started to identify more openly with the passion and this journey. Yoel, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Boker Tov. I'm honored to honored and grateful to be here. It's a lovely sunny morning in Joburg.
Isn't winter great here?
I mean, I may have to be moving here one day, you know.
Yikes.
If this is winter for you, then no, that's a good winter to have.
It is a good winter to have. The only problem is running-wise, you know, we're quite high up here.
However, so, if you can train in high up, then every other marathon becomes a bit easier. So actually, it's quite a tactical
place
to train.
Taking something negative and turning it positive. I like that already. Yeah. So talking about that, you've done exactly that, because you've taken something, the ultimate of negativity, which is the kidnapping, brutal murder of the Bibas kids. Obviously, it's about all of the kids. It's about, you've taken the negativity when it comes to your online hate. You've actually turned things in that are deeply problematic into something almost affirming. Is this the story of your life?
I think yes. I think my life growing up, I've always had my own challenges. Having dyslexia at school, we have speech disorder at school, and I found things very tough. And I used dyslexia and I used my speech challenge as an excuse for everything I did. And then there was times where I got exercising and everything, and actually I now use it as a strength and I use it as a superpower. And I think with everything I do, we have one life, and life is too short for me to look at the negatives, and I want to make most of my life. But I think I know my biggest inspiration is my sister. Mm. My sister has Down syndrome and everything, and she brings a lot of joy to my life, and looking at the challenges she has, and yet she's the most beautiful person in the room, always trying to show up, even though she isn't verbal. So I look at my life and how grateful I am, and I take that from my own life into others, because hopefully there's a bit of positivity, because I think any unfortunate negative situation, we have to move forward. We have to look at the positives, and I think that has been the strength. That has been the story of my life, and I take that on to the next step of each journey I do.
If someone had told the 16-year-old Yoel that you would be flying around the world, being interviewed all over the show, talking to massive audiences with a following that you have, what would you have said?
I wouldn't believe I'd be doing what I'm doing. Mm. I remember when I was 16 years old, I had a speech therapist. And I said to my speech therapist, I wanted to public speak and I wanted to do something in my life. And I remember, well, when you're dyslexic and you have a speech challenge, that's just not normally the route you go down. Mm. So I think back how tough this journey has been for myself. There's always tougher journeys, but I think everyone's got their own journey and everyone's got a tough journey. I think I'm grateful for the challenges I had as a youngster, because I think that's made me more self-aware and I learned my strengths. And I've learned what I'm not good at. And then when I look at my weaknesses, I think about how I can delegate them or ask for help. So I look back at my younger years and I'm very grateful for what I experienced. But I'm also happy because every life is beautiful. So I'm very, very, I wouldn't expect that to happen. What's happened over the last few years. But I think you've got to make most of every opportunity, and you got to be grateful for every single sort of thing you did. Now, of course, the whole Batman thing, I wish I never had to do this, but sure. We had a social media page for since 2019. So it will be a very, very different a story, but I think we have to look forward and try to make the most positive impact of any dark situation.
It's so interesting because the Batman superhero finding strength, also a Batman backstory, the difficult childhood and emerging as it just all comes together, doesn't it? In terms of who you are, the connection to the B-Bus kids, which we've come to associate with Batman. Was this an epiphany, or did this just evolve slowly following October the 7th?
A bit of both. Mm. I think I knew the family loved Batman. Ariel Bibas running Kibbutz Ne'er Oz, a very powerful video. I know the family photos of them in their selfie with all their Batman PJs. Mm. So I knew Batman was already a staple part of the family. So when I saw what happened, I already had the Jerusalem Marathon signed up. I decided to do the marathon in a Batman suit. Then we did the London Marathon in a Batman suit, created videos, reached millions worldwide, but millions of non-Jewish people who didn't know about the B-Bus family. Mm. And I was like, this has to continue. And I think going back to the Batman story, I say a lot of we a lot in my journey. It's like, it's just me running. And I think that's the journey of the Batman, but myself, is that it's a team sport. I'm the person running, but it's the people who are supporting, it's the people who are educating, and that's what any superhero is. It's not just a superhero, it's their team around them. And I think the Jews and the friends of the Jews is the team. And it wasn't, if it's not for the people who come out and support, if it's not the people who support me on social media, who are there for me when I'm having the lows and there for me on the highs, they're the ones who are able to help me educate as many people as possible. So I think that's the superhero story is, you're a superhero when you have the right team around you. Mm. And I think the Jewish community has been that team around me.
I got that sense from the Cape Town Marathon, where there was a significant amount of hate, which I'm sure you're no stranger to. But at the same time, there was an incredible amount of support. Talk to me about your experience.
It's been a very good learning experience for me. Lots of ups and a lot of challenges. But what I will say, the support definitely out. It was so much more than any hate we received. Of course, beforehand, there were some negative incidents, but I really want to highlight the last 4 or 5 kilometers of the Cape Town Marathon, because you all had half a hamstring. So my hamstring was, it was a bit of a, I've oh had gosh. A bit of a, I know I'm on a big June, I'm taking the month off to really focus on rehab.
That's and hard.
But I didn't feel like I had any pain, because the last 4 kilometers, as I started down Sea Point, I think it's called, and you
look
see
at
the
you.
Beautiful
You're
thing.
Local.
I know, I'm basically local. one of the schools has planted a tree in my name. So I'm like, it's so tactical.
That's it.
I'm going to have to come back. Absolutely. So very, very, very clever from the South African community.
Yeah, we're very shrewd.
Yeah, it's a genius idea from the school. Mm. But just so much support. And it was from babies and toddlers to people in their 90s. And the community came out, secular Jews, religious Jews, non-Jews who came support in Orange. And I thought that was a sense of unity and togetherness. And that's what I remember from these races, isn't the dark times, it's the positive times. And it's not about being more political, it's not about being more religious, it's just about coming together as one and remembering a family that we deserve to be remembered, but also being proud of who we are. And it sounds like we will not be silent. And I think that's the goal of these races. It's not to create too much scene, it's just to remind, like, just a moment of unity. And that's what running is about. Running is about celebration, but also running is about remembrance. Running races around the world, there are so many people who run for their loved ones who've been lost. And this is just another example of many millions of examples around the world where they've lost loved ones, and this is why we run to remember.
Your journey, obviously, is part of your journey is actually being a fitness coach. Yeah. Have you managed that over the last couple of years? I can't imagine you could find the time anywhere at this stage.
my journey's definitely been influenced by this. And I think I get a lot of fulfillment from both things.
I'm sure.
Helping people with their own fitness goals is very important. Helping people with mental health is like the most very rewarding thing. But you can't do everything once perfectly. So we've been able to have a few team members in my team now where we're able to delegate some roles. And I do work with less people because I want to make sure I make sure I'm the right coach and make sure. But so that's taking them not a step back, but just the amount we work with is a lot less. But then I think this part of my life right now, running, is so meaningful and it brings me a lot of fulfillment. And I think I'm going to focus on this for a period and then I can give 100% back to coaching when the next step is.
I know that you have been speaking at some schools whilst you are in South Africa, and that with particular messages to kids who are struggling. How do you put that across in a way? Because as you said to me earlier, if somebody said to your 16-year-old self or your 12-year-old self that this is what you would have achieved, maybe at a dark time or a difficult time, it would be very hard to picture that. Do you think that by you standing up and being able to identify what these kids might be going through, that it does give them something that somebody else talking to the kids and saying, you know, you guys will be okay, if, you know, do you think that you are able to impart a different message? And if so, how do you do that?
Well, when I speak to schools, I like to put myself in their shoes and I like to think about when I was in there, when I was sitting down and listening. Because I had so many talks when I was 10, 7, 13 at school, when I looked up and I was like, I just don't relate. I just can't get
That's
it.
What I was thinking.
And I'm trying my best. I want to be respectful, but I can't relate. But I think my journey is just like an average Joe at school. I think I struggled with dyslexia. I found school hard. And it was just my journey of who I am. Because I'm no different to any of these school kids. I'm just one or two steps ahead of them. Like, I struggled with creating content because I couldn't speak very well. I had all these things, but I'm just a normal person and I've just not given up. And I want to remind them that those tough times at school is going to make you so grateful and strong in the future. So it's reminding them, and I wish I had that myself, is like there was things I did quit on and I wish I didn't quit on.
That's
because I didn't have anyone to tell me there was going to be tough times. Apart from my parents, but sometimes when it's family, it's different.
But yeah, you have to say that I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's your job.
I love like having someone who's not your family and say, hey, this is going to be tough sometimes, but if you don't give up, great things could arise. That's my message, because that when things get uncomfortable, you're going to have to put a little bit of effort, extra shift. And that's normal. And that's okay. Because doing uncomfortable things, doing new things is a new experience. And that's going to help. That's going to be an unnatural feeling. And I think at that young age, I kind of wish I had that.
Yes, that you could.
And I hope, I mean, every talk I go to, I hope it's to inspire them, but I hope at least one or two of the students really take on that message. And the next time they do something, they do feel something uncomfortable, they push that and they think about that moment and they go on to achieve wonderful, beautiful things.
I have no doubt that it does resonate. I think kids are even better than adults at recognizing authenticity. Somebody like you that speaks from a very real and authentic perspective will resonate naturally, I think, with kids that can identify themselves in some of these challenges. I have little doubt. I think kids are masterful. I'm talking to Yoel Levy. If you would like to send a message, simply a message or a question, 061-895-1019. Mandy says, message for the Jewish Fitness Coach, true inspiration, true superhero, even without a Batman suit on. Okay, I hope you mean in normal clothes, Mandy. This is not that kind of a show, hey? Hey, it's family focused show. Carry on with your important message and story for the rest of the world. And wow, welcome, Yoel. You are an inspiration. I also now run in orange for the B-Bus family. And Karan has sent a photo, which is fantastic. Linda says, I have such huge respect for Yoel. I love the way he looks after Hannah, that's his sister who you referred to earlier. What a wonderful man. Big hug to Yoel and Hannah from all of us here in South Africa. Howard, is Yoel going to get you running? He's good at what he does. He's not a miracle worker, guys. Guys, let's keep it. And you know what? Can we try and be nice? Can we actually, we've got an important guest in a studio. Can we not abuse me for just a few moments of that? And let's pretend we're one happy family here on Chai FM. And Karen with a Y says, you are the highlight of the week. Let's talk about Malkaela, because it is one of those, one of these organizations that I think are superheroes in our community, to be honest. I think they, And when I heard that you were working with them, I thought that is absolutely amazing. Who is Malkaela?
In terms of who it was named after?
In terms of
the organization. Yes. So we're a fertility organization that helps Jewish couples fund fertility treatment. But we also help people, singles and couples, do genetic testing. And we also counsel people, give advice, provide emotional support throughout their journey. So we really try and encompass to help continuity, Jewish continuity, enabling people to have families but with dignity, and to try and help them make the journey a little bit less challenging.
So, and how long has Malkaela been around?
So Malkaela's been around over 25 years, and in that time we have had the privilege of being involved in the birth of over about 480
that
children.
That was going to be my next question.
And, you know, I always have this conversation that it's a finite number that we talk about, but it's never ever finite, because we are creating 450 lives that are going to go on and have their own children. And so it is absolutely infinite how many people's lives will be touched by the work that we do. So we are extremely grateful to be in the position to help people. And there's literally not a Jewish couple in South Africa and that cannot have treatment because they can't afford it. There is not one.
That is... It's actually breathtaking that we are that type of a community, that Malkaela exists within this community. It is really phenomenal. Tell me about, I mean, I know that there are a lot of people, certainly a lot of my friends running Comrades are running it for Malkaela. Your Alivi associated as well with Malkaela. Talk to me about that marathon connection.
So I think that, you know, I myself am not a runner like you would.
No miracle work there.
No. but what I think resonated was many years ago, someone who was running the Comrades and was going through their own journey came to us and said, you know, a marathon is very similar to a fertility journey because it is extremely grueling. In many aspects, and it requires early mornings and a lot of dedication, and there can be disappointments and injuries and so many things on the way. And we think that there is really a good synergy between Malkaela, and we would love to help you raise money and to raise awareness. And so we started on that journey. To date, we've raised through the Comrades over 6 million rand. And, you know,
fantastic.
The community is absolutely amazing. This year we have 38 runners going to be running in for Malkaela. And it's incredible just to see the camaraderie amongst people, how people have come together to support just a better cause. And last year we had over 1.2 million rand that was raised. And I just think it's such a feel-good event. The Comrades is such a South African event.
I love the Comrades. I mean, I've never run anything. No, I have. I would do a 10K. But I'm obsessed with the Comrades.
And so just to watch people, you know, the sometimes there's like sheer pain. And that's really what a couple goes through. So, you know, just for it's to do something for someone else that you will never, ever meet, that you will never know. But that the effect is always, and I think that's kind of the work that your L's doing.
So I was thinking
and
so much about that.
Yeah, is that you have no idea who you are going to affect by the work that you have done. You know, and last night we had an event. We had over 550 people coming from all walks of life, you know. And I think that in itself, we have an incredible Jewish community in South Africa, but we have a community in the world. And if you're a Jew, you are not alone.
And in fact, just coming back to your, that's exactly, in a way, this is about the what the Bibas family endured, what the October 7th victims endured. But you've taken this and you've not only brought comfort, I imagine, to the family, and I just do want to ask you about that, but you've actually united the entire community, a global Jewish and non-Jewish community.
I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for that lovely compliments. I think, obviously, I try and do my job as everyone does their job in their role. And I think after October 7th, I felt very helpless. So much everyone else did. And it was just, if there's one way to give back to the community and do my bits in this post-October 7th war, then it's my responsibility to continue this. But also, it was to remind that there's so much amazing Jewish life outside America and Israel. When I first went to Australia, I was a bit nervous because I'm like, it's the first place I've gone to that's running outside my home.
Right.
And I didn't know if there was going to be strong communities outside America and Israel.
Right.
And when I went to Australia, I was proven wrong. And ever since, every single community I've gone to, and especially in South Africa, in Joburg and Cape Town, the communities are so, so strong. It gives me so much hope that when I continue my next race, all the inspiration I've received and the love I've received, I take that onto the next race. I take that onto my next journey. So each community that brings me love is giving me more motivation to share that love to the next community and the next community. And I think it is turning into like a little bit of a global thing. And I would love over time to bring global Jews together. And that's the next part maybe of the journey, is how to bring Jews around the world united in a variety of different ways that we haven't seen before. So we'll see what that takes me in the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, in a way, it's very much what's happening, because as you run a marathon in Cape Town, your followers are gaining a small insight into the South African community. And then I saw that you mentioned you're going to be running in South America, Boston. You ran in, like, you take us, you take everybody with you, and in a way, that's exactly what you're achieving. If there's a message to the Bibas family, to the kids, that you want to bring to South Africa, and I know that that we have here the Bibas Youth Impact Challenge that we've spoken about on the Morning Mayhem as well, an incredible initiative to get our youth involved. What is that message that you would bring?
Well, I think the family of the Bibas family were one of the families that we all were very, every family, every victim, it was very emotional, but I think especially the two youngest victims, it united the Jewish nation. Everyone felt very affected. And I think we have to continue that afterwards, and to remind ourselves that we may disagree with each other, but we are in it together, and we have to work together to become a stronger nation. And I think that's what this family is about. So they've brought us together, we've mourned together, and we take this life on as we move on forward together. We have to take that message and the spirit of the Bibas family, and how much love the family have given me, and how much I'm grateful for just the kindness and the welcoming. And they treated me like I'm being at a Shabbat meal. And I take their love and I share that with everyone else, and to show that they are an amazing, supportive, beautiful family that does not deserve any of this.
That's,
but
for sure,
we have to move. We have to look forward step by step, and as we Jews, we will reunite and we'll come together, and to remember that no one will forget about this family name.
Yoel Levy, an absolute privilege to chat to you. Mukundi is signaling me quite vigorously that we do need to go to ads and end. This is where I love and leave you.